Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSanctity.com.
The pullout.
I'm sorry?
The sofa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was good.
I bet. Oops.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, it's Kevin Nealon, and you're listening to the Homie Broadcast. Yeah.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is William Jamal Koontz. Is that my real middle name? Good luck finding out, sucka. Welcome back to the show, folks. Joe Davison will be here very soon. You may remember him from this podcast a while ago. And a little show called Stranger Things 2 he was on. He had a small role as the nerdy tech, as he was dubbed by the internet. Local guy right here from Tampa, local filmmaker. He's got some cool stuff that I wanted him to come in and talk about because it's neat. And I like Joe. So he did that for me because he's a kind gentleman. He's got a couple new movies coming out. And, well, let me just let you have him tell you. This podcast is brought to you by Tap House 61. Taphouse61.com. My friend Joe down there does a fantastic job with a eating and drinking establishment, some of the best taps around. If you like craft beer, great trivia night on Wednesday, and the food menu just debuted over there at Tap House 61. The kitchen is open, so I'm going to go check it out and eat some food there this week, and you should too. 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg, and Tap House 61, the number 6, the number 1 on all the social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff. And Truvy Salon and Spa, T-R-U-V as in Victory, Y, salonandspa.com, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Pete. Botox lady's coming. I saw that in an email. I subscribed to her email list, so I know whenever the Botox lady's coming. So if you got some problem areas you need to work out, get some poison injected into your face by a stranger. And that's the solution to all your problems. I mean, really, what could go wrong? No, they know what they're doing over there. They will not kill you. I can assure you, it's guaranteed. Why? Will Koontz, HMB Radio, guarantee. That's right. Truvy Salon and Spa, T-R-U-V as in Victory, Y, salonandspa.com. Go get a haircut. You look good, you feel good, and that's really all that matters. And finally, homemadepodcast.com, homemade podcasts with an S. If you want to get interested, or if you're interested in learning how to podcast, you're a small business that wants to reach clients through podcasting, I'm very qualified and very highly recommended by people. Just go check out the website and you'll see. Homemadepodcasts.com. Check out the Creative Loafing Tampa Bay podcast, cltampa.com. I produce that one if you're interested in hearing some of the work besides this show right here. So let's talk to Joe Davison. Thanks so much for listening to Homemade Podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and rate the show on iTunes, on Google Play, wherever you get your podcast. Give it a 5-star rating. Tell a friend. And any questions or concerns, 813-693-2124. If you missed that, go to hmbradio.com. Go to the contact page. If you want stickers, I'd be happy to send you some. The Homemade Broadcast at RadioSaintPete.com. Very good. Let's talk to Joe Davison, local filmmaker here on The Homemade Broadcast, heard on RadioSaintPete.com. What's up, man?
What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Pretty good. I heard you had an incident with cursing on the radio just now. You were telling me the story, and I said, hold it.
Yeah, on the Johnny B Show, man. You're not allowed to say certain words. I didn't know that.
Yes.
No one tells me anything.
Yeah, I think people assume a lot, yeah. And you shouldn't, because people, they just talk, you know, and it's good. I feel like when people curse, they're talking to you like how they would talk to anybody else.
I agree. You know I mean? Saw a thing.
Things are comfortable.
I saw a meme or something on Facebook, but I heard this a lot. You know, someone who cusses is a lot more honest.
Yes, that's true. And also more intelligent, I've heard, as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not. But
let's assume it is.
We'll go with that.
In that case, I'm brilliant.
What did you say on Johnny? I got
some trouble. Oh, man.
I mean, you try to censor yourself here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I think an F-bomb dropped once.
That happened, sure.
And Shizite dropped a few times.
That happened. That's a famous
one.
Like
4 or 5 times. I can't believe you can't say that. You can't say tie-ties either. You have to say boobies.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And it's really, you have to talk like an infant.
Yeah. Ta-ta, boobie, poopy,
yes,
doo-doo.
Poopy, pee-pee, stuff like that's fine. But any sort of, I did that. I said something, well, I'll just say it on here. I don't care. But I said something about you can spit in that girl's mouth. Mm-hmm. And Johnny immediately hit the button. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? He goes, fluids, man. You can't talk about fluids.
Really?
Any fluid exchange is a no-no.
Not kissing? You can't say kissing?
I think that's okay.
But you can show some girl getting her vagina pierced.
You could say that, yes. As
long
as you
could
say vagina. Because
they do stuff like that all the time. On the,
yes.
Yeah, they get someone in piercing the nipple.
Right.
And,
if you sign into the...
blowing a cucumber.
Yes, if you sign into the TV thing, the bone TV... Yeah. You have to click a box that says you're 18 and
above.
It
says you're an adult.
And the internet doesn't follow the same rules that the FCC does, or that the on-air, whatever goes out, radio waves, for whatever reason. I don't understand it.
I want to know who's moderating the FCC every day. Are they just listening to everything coming out of radios?
No. That's the thing. Like, they hardly catch these things.
Yeah.
But if they happen to be listening, they will find the crap. Out of these companies, like
that's
you're
just
getting...
another way to get money, man.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, it's all
it's a
bullshit.
Scam. This
Sorry.
Is what I... it's. I was thinking about this actually the other day. I'm kind of glad you brought it up. I have a feeling that most things are scams. There's not really legit business out there. Taco Tuesday, it's a total scam, right? I mean, what is it? 30 cents off?
I can have a taco every day if I want.
Right, for about the same price that you could on Taco Tuesday.
I think as a human in general, we need things to celebrate. So everything has to have a purpose and a name and a reason. Taco Tuesday. All right, it's Taco Tuesday. Hey, tacos on Tuesday.
But isn't the under...
Fajita Friday. Same thing.
There you go. Burrito, whatever.
Burrito.
Day. Friggin' figure something out. Burrito Margarita. Birthday. It's your birthday. Come and get a burrito.
Burrito birthday. Nice.
That's what I'm talking
Margarita
about.
Margarita Monday.
Yep. I mean, there's so many.
Wacky Wednesday. I don't know.
But it's a lie, because I saw, I used to go to Tijuana Flats. So I was like, it's a pretty good deal. It's for like $6. You get 2 tacos, chips. And a drink. That's how much it is.
Yeah.
Any other day
all
of the week,
is.
You go.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's like 70 cents more or something like that. But it's a lie. It's because you're under the illusion that you're going to get a deal at these things.
That's all we want, man.
Yeah.
We want to save money and have a good time and save money and have a good time doing it.
This is another thing. I found TJ Maxx. Are you familiar with TJ Maxx?
Yeah, of course.
Clearance section. I head there every time. I'm not dealing with the regular.
No,
I'm not paying regular price. I'm cheap.
Go to clearance. Well, I thought TJ Maxx was already cheap.
It's
like
cheaper.
Overstock or some
right,
shit.
Right.
Stuff.
But clearance section's even cheaper, right? And nothing's wrong with those clothes. It's just, it's out of date or they're trying to get rid of this stuff. Always searching. Found a pair of pants in there. Didn't fit me. Not my size. Ooh, I really like these pants, so that stinks. Maybe I'll get lucky and I'll go through the regular section and see
fine.
If maybe there's a pair. Bunches of pairs of these pants didn't have the red sticker on them, but guess how much they were? The same price
oh, nice.
That they were in a clearance rack. It's a lie. It's a scam.
Dude, it's just guiding you through your life. That's all it is.
They're just helping. Any money exchange
easier
is a scam. They always find these little markups.
I don't doubt it. My Dr. Pepper from McDonald's.
Oh my gosh, you're making a fortune. That's where they make a lot of their money.
It's all ice, frozen water, which mm-hmm. is, you know, nothing to them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like 3 ounces of soda.
Yeah.
And not even, because it's 3 ounces of liquid, which is also mixed with water.
Yep. And they just take it out of the river or something, boil it right out of the toilet. Yeah. Yeah, we boiled it. Don't worry, it's fine. Put some flavorings. I put some high fructose corn syrup and some spit.
That's what the marketing schemes are. Sugar.
Yes.
Trust me. I was just going over all this with my wife. Yeah.
But it's insane. Stops. Yeah. No, I was sort of taking a drink of my liquid that's with sugar in it.
Yeah, exactly. Your monster.
Yeah. That's another scam.
Yeah. Sponsor. Mark Monster.
I would love that so much. I feel like such a scumbag.
I just got turned down by T-Mobile to sponsor my movie.
How do you even approach somebody like that? Like a big
John
corporation?
John
Lur, like
the guy who is the owner of T-Mobile, is on Facebook all the time. So I just hit him up and messaged him.
Really?
I was like, yo, what do I have to do to get sponsorship for my movie? And he was like, what's your contact information? So I gave it to him, and then like a week went by, and finally today T-Mobile emailed me and was like, no, we're not going to sponsor your movie.
That's still, I mean, I gotta say, for a big corporation like that, for the guy to answer you, that's pretty sweet. It didn't just go into the junk pile.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Didn't even ask me what the movie was.
Right.
They didn't ask for the script. They didn't ask for anything. They just said no.
Did you throw in "I'm Nerdy Tech" from Stranger Things 2?
No, I don't.
I mean, that might have helped.
I don't know if that'll get me anywhere.
See,
it
will, because it gives you clout.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I tell my buddy John was on an MTV show a while ago, and I get why he doesn't want to do it, because he's every poster that he was on for a while from MTV, you know, John Jacobs, whatever. And he didn't want to do it because he's not that guy anymore. I'm not on there anymore. I was on there for a little bit. I'm moving on with my life, which I totally understand. But people see it as like a badge, like it means something. And comedians are notorious for doing this. We'll say, seen on ABC.
Yeah.
And no, they
seen
weren't.
Seen on Letterman.
You sat in a Jimmy Kimmel audience one time. You weren't on Jimmy Kimmel, but they still put it on there just because, and everybody does it. Now, is it ethical? Probably not. And they shouldn't probably do it. However, everybody does it, so it's one of those things. If everybody's breaking the law, you got to keep up.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, let's go rob a bank.
I'm in. Banks don't have any money. I think we'll get
more
out of the 7-Eleven.
How about a Bitcoin dude?
That would be a good idea. Not tech savvy though. I wouldn't even know how to do that.
I wouldn't even know where to start.
I wouldn't either. But
just
people do it all the
Bitcoin.
time. I've heard that's the downside of the Bitcoin, is that if it gets stolen,
it's gone.
You'll never get it back.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
So, I don't either.
I have no idea how any of that works.
Joe Davison is here. He's from Stranger Things 2. He's a local filmmaker, and he's back because he has some things that he wants to talk about. First of all, first question.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about a potential comeback in Stranger Things 3?
No, I have not. I would love to come back, man. I'm a little sad. I didn't make it.
Yeah, but do we know that you didn't? Did we already have this conversation?
You know, I mean, you kind of see me in the elevator, right? I'm dead, but it doesn't. I mean, I'm not like they don't
but
really close up on me.
There's a potential though that maybe you were just playing dead.
True, but they don't care about my character. He's gone. He's out.
Well, all right,
Fatty's dead.
It was a fun ride, but you're moving on.
Oh, it was beautiful, man.
Yeah,
I can't ever replace that yet.
Absolutely, just like
I said
because
I'll be making bigger things, hopefully.
Right, exactly. So, that's what I'm saying. Like John Jacobs with the MTV credit.
Right.
You're moving on with your life. And
I want to be like, oh, yeah, Stranger Things. I forgot I was on
that. I did that at one point.
I
remember.
50 years ago.
but you actually invented a board game?
Yeah, man. I came up with this idea where I was tired of playing the same kind of games. I don't know if you're a board gamer or not, but there's a whole bunch of us out there. And I love board games. So I play this one a lot called Zombies, and I play Munchkin, and I play D&D, and anything I can get my hands on. And this new one called, I can't even think of the name of it. It's Zombicide. That one's amazing.
Can you purchase these games that you're mentioning at Walmart?
No, man. You got to go to like a
specialty shop.
Yeah,
shops,
you got to go to like a specialty
comic
shop.
Comic book shops and stuff.
Comic shop. Emerald City is a good place to go right here, a local place in St. Pete. There's another place called Serenity Games right on Seminole Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. Does that used to be Emerald City? There used to be an Emerald City on
Seminole Boulevard. Yeah, I think it was there, and then they moved to the big one on 66.
I gotcha, yeah.
So anyway, so yeah, you can get those games there. So our board game is called Dungeon Runners. Anyway, so I came up, I was like tired of playing the same game. So I was like, I don't want to play the, I want a new game, man. I want something that is like D&D, but played like zombies, but fun like Munchkin. And I kind of just put those three together, and I took it to my buddy Corey Matthews, who has a company called Team Fire Hazard, their video game company. But they do games in general. So I went to Corey and I was like, yo, I got this awesome board game. I said, I just need some help with it to figure out, you know, attacks and movement and that kind of stuff. And here's all the rules. And I did a whole mock-up of it. I did a whole prototype, got it printed and everything, and tried playing it. And it was a little complicated. And then his team got together and they just modified it, man. They made it so much better. They changed the rules a little bit so it's easier to play. You know, they kind of really worked it for almost a year. You know, and they did all the artwork and that kind of stuff. So it's really cool, man. I wouldn't have it without those guys. And all I really did was just kind of come up with an idea and do the prototype and was like, hey, this is, I got a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they were like, well, you suck, but we'll fix it. And I was like, all right.
What's the theme of the game?
So it has, okay, it's just a dungeon game. So basically you pick randomly, or you can pick whatever character you want. There's six character cards. So you can be a warrior or a mage or a fighter or a rogue, which is like a thief, right? So you can be several characters, right? Or one of the several characters. And then you just go through the dungeon. You flip a tile. You move your character. If you have to fight a creature, it'll say, you know, you land on a spot and there's a creature you have to fight. But there's also traps and treasures. And you build your character, man. You keep building him up and building him up, and you get armor and weapons. And eventually you flip the last tile, which is the main boss tile. And everyone has to kind of fight him.
So it's like an RPG video game.
It's an RPG.
But a board game.
Board
much.
Game. Yeah, it's a flat two-dimensional video game you play on your table.
How do you even come up with the rules for stuff like that? Is it something where you have to play, and then as you're playing the game and some sort of situation comes up, you go, oh, okay, what do you got? We got to figure out something to do for this situation. Is that how it works? Or
no? Well, no, not really, because I kind of knew how I wanted it to go. I knew I needed hero cards and treasure cards and monster cards, because I knew you had to flip a monster. You land on a monster tile, you got to fight a monster, so you flip from the monster card pile. You flip it over, it's whatever monster it is. There's 100 of them or more in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's 148 monster cards. And that could be way off. Sorry, Corey. I didn't even bring my rule book. So you fight the guys, you beat them. It says two treasures or one treasure or four treasures, and you get those treasures. If you can use them, great. If not, you discard them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you just go through the dungeon, winning and fighting and teaming up, and then beat the bad guy at the end. The good thing is that it doesn't have to be over then. You can keep your character, have you built the one that you've built up, and just reshuffle the cards and start all over again, because it's going to be a different game.
Mm. And that doesn't give that person a huge advantage. Or I guess everybody gets to keep what they want and discard what they don't.
Right.
I see.
The next thing is we're going to do expansion packs.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have the dungeon, but you can get the forest expansion pack. And that might have werewolves and bears or all kinds of shit you fight. All kinds of things you fight. Witches and no, whatever. Any kind of mythical, magical, anything we can think of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Minotaurs and centaurs and syntax. Yeah. No.
How long did it take you to come up with the game? It's from the first thought to
over a
year. Now we got a
over
tangible
a year.
Thing. Over a year. Yeah.
Over a year, man. Yeah, and because I started on it when I did the prototype, I don't even think my daughter was a year old. Now she's going to be three. Mm. So, but yeah, Corey and those guys, man, they really like Travis and Hambone and those guys. They just busted their ass on that thing and made sure that it's really cool. And
so
it looks good, and the art is amazing. I really like it a lot. Like Ming Chen was talking about on his show, and he said how he really loved the artwork.
This is the guy from Comic Book Men,
right?
From
yes,
what station is that on? Sci-Fi?
American? No, American Movie Channel. AMC.
Okay.
It's on AMC.
AMC. Right.
AMC.
Right.
Sorry, I was going to go to Google, and then there was a thing that said sharks and alligators eat whale, and I was like,
that
I
looks
can't
interesting.
Even continue.
So that's cool. So that guy gave you a shout out on there. Now, is it available for purchase now?
It will be soon. Here, if you want to look at it, this is it here. Just so you
this
can
is,
see
this
it.
Is
no
good
one else
podcasting
can see it
because
we're
it
on
looks,
the radio.
It looks, it reminds me of Dungeons & Dragons. I hope you don't
Yeah, well, that's
me
well, that's
that.
What I said. It's part Dungeons & Dragons meets part zombies meets part munchkin. And I'm not afraid to say that because those are all the games I love. Right? So, and it's part other things too. It's Corey and his team put a good spin on it. You know what I mean? My take on it was a little different because I was coming at it like a fanboy. I was coming at it like someone who wanted to play the game every night but didn't have a game to play like that every night.
Yeah.
So that's why I started like developing this thing, man. And I'm really happy for it. We go live on Kickstarter May 1st.
Oh, okay. So
yeah.
you can get like a pre-order there. And Kickstarter is to kind of just get the game made, right?
Yeah, just to get it made. I mean, we already figured out. We've already got a couple boxes made up and we shipped them out like to Ming and few other people, so we can do that in small orders forever, mm-hmm. and probably end up spending more money than we'll ever make. But we're going to try to do a Kickstarter to see, you can order the game through Kickstarter. That's basically what it is.
It's such a cool concept. I can't believe nobody thought about this Kickstarter and GoFundMe stuff way before.
Dude,
it's such a great. I love those Super Trooper guys. They made their movie that way, and
they
it's
did,
killing
well, it's because they have. They already had
followings. Well, sure.
Normal people can't go on Kickstarter
yes.
and Indiegogo and
Agreed.
Raise $2 million. You
yeah.
just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's really beneficial if you already got a following.
Well, that's just like Adam Carolla said about podcasting. He gets asked frequently, how do you start a good podcast? And he says, be famous. That's his number one piece of advice. Although, it's pretty funny because I saw an ad on my Facebook feed said, it's an Adam Carolla podcasting masterclass that you can take. So,
that's
okay.
Funny.
Yeah.
So now he's teaching.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Learn how to talk into a microphone like I do.
And record it into an iPad. Yeah, it's really not hard. It's just you either got it or you don't. But it does help, certainly, to have a name. And those guys definitely
did.
Well,
the following
sure.
you want. Because the following brings you the better chances of making money if you pitch something on your podcast or your Twitch channel or whatever you're doing, it's going to increase. It just increases your value. So you have to be valuable.
And it was an in demand. I mean, that was a very in demand thing. People wanted the Super Troopers 2 movie. It's been talked about ever since they made the first one. And for whatever reason, I don't know, studios just weren't interested or didn't
well,
make
that's
enough money.
That's the funny thing, man, is if you notice, like, I don't want to say every studio, but there's a lot of remakes happening
mm-hmm.
with very little original content. And I think that's where Netflix is striving, man, because they're only doing original content.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can go watch, you know, Batman Begins, but they didn't make it.
Right.
It's just, they just own it.
Yeah.
So that you can watch it. But the stuff they're doing that's original, Stranger Things, mm-hmm. for instance, no studio wanted that.
Yeah, and that's crazy. And they did. It was an amazing.
These regular broadcast channels, you know, NBC and ABC, they don't understand. They don't get it, man. They don't know what's hot because the demographics are flipping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They don't know. The people who followed them for the last 30 years are all dying, and the younger generation, like my parents, watched, you know, NBC and ABC and Fox.
So, that was what was around.
Because that's all there was. And now there's a million different opportunities to sit and watch whatever you want. And the broadcast companies cannot compete with it. They can't compete with something like Hulu or Netflix. Because basically Netflix is like an on-demand movie channel where you could basically just write Netflix and be like, yo, yeah, we need like a werewolf movie. And then Netflix is like, yo, we got werewolf movies. Somebody check in the back. Who's got a werewolf movie? And then they go and shoot it. And then 2 days later, you're like, werewolf movie, click.
I wonder if that has anything to do with you're able to track what gets watched so much more on
Netflix
the internet
tells me what I watch.
Yeah,
yeah,
as opposed
watch it again.
To...
No, fuck you. I watched it already. Yeah, sorry.
That's right. As opposed to, you know, I guess you know what happens at the box office. You can gauge pretty well that way what people are spending their money on. But stuff that's on, like, TV, they can't really... They radio, I don't know. They're just making educated guesses at that point. But with the internet, they know what you're watching, what's good. Okay, people are watching a lot of Stranger Things. Let's make another show similar to Stranger Things, but with a twist of some kind.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's a unique idea and different. But they know what the market is, so they make these shows that just do awesome every time because they know what people want.
Yeah, I know, man. It all has to do with algorithms and Facebook and, you know, I mean...
Digital media.
What it really scares me is that, like, you know, this Facebook phenomenon where people are like, dude, I was just talking about an exercise machine two days ago, and now on my feed there's an exercise machine. That shit is real because it happens to me. And I tell you what, I tell you what, buddy. Listen to me. 1940 Joe is going to tell you what's going on. No, but, like, I, in my group of friends, we talk about making movies and shit like that, and we talk about... what we got to, you know, like, oh, man, I got to get a new, you know, editing system, blah, blah, blah. And I'll get stuff to pop up on my Facebook feed that no one would know that I was talking about it. A microphone or some shit. Like, how the hell did it know I was talking about a microphone last night?
They say, because I've had the same thing happen to me. Everybody has, you know. They say it picks up on this. They're not listening, but they have the speech... to text recognition is so good that it pulls the keywords, and if you're talking about it, they pull an ad for it, which is creepy in its own right. And a lot of people are like, no, they're listening. But I don't think they would have the manpower. It's like the U.S. government.
It's like Batman trying to listen to all of Gotham.
Exactly.
Ain't going to happen.
Right, right. And it's just like with the whole, you know, the government has these just freaking millions of terabytes of this data. How do you go through it? And I think what it is they just do the keywords. They have the computers go around, bomb, right. Al-Qaeda, and they just pull these keywords and stuff. Yeah. But it's crazy, man. This stuff has gone way too far.
Netflix finance my movie.
finance Joe's game on Kickstarter.
Right.
And movie.
Yeah. Hashtag Kickstarter, hashtag Dungeon Runners, hashtag movie, Joe.
Speaking of movies, you're working on two new ones right now.
I am, dude. I got a new one that we just started, written by Jennifer Phillips. This really dark psychological thriller that has it really has some great moments in it, man. It's set around a high school. It's set around a young girl who
nice, like it already.
Yeah, she's got these triggers. Yeah, exactly. She's hot too, man. Taylor Hensley, she's our lead. Halsey. So basically her character is this, she was abused as a kid and now she's in high school and she's starting to have these like horrible memories and she's having, these triggers that are about to set off this catalyst that she's just going to go apeshit. And, basically this is what's happening one by one. She just starts to slowly slip a little bit deeper and deeper within her own psyche, man. And she just becomes, you know, it's not high school shooting and that kind of stuff. It's I feel that it goes a little bit deeper into the female high school drama stuff more than, because that's a side, even in high school, I never even saw that side, man, because I was a boy, so I don't know. And the drama is ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, girls are mean.
Way
meaner than
guys. And they'll drag shit out and they'll bring it back 5 years later, whatever.
A dude will punch you in the face in high school, and that's it. Yeah, it's done. Like, push you into a locker. Yeah, but girls do psychological stuff too.
Yeah,
so they're really vicious creatures.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that in this, and I love it, man. I love the. I already, you know, we're working on with our shots and stuff, and I know everything we want to like. My feeling for the whole thing is going to be like Seven meets Riverdale.
Oh, okay.
You know,
and you're directing this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not in it, really. I don't think. There's a role I might take. I'm not sure. you know. But anyway, so yeah, so that one's called Beauty Skin Deep, and it's a really cool dark psychological thriller. I can't wait to get started. June 23rd, we start shooting.
And the other one is called Satan's Circus. Tell me about that
one. Yeah, it's a horror comedy, man. My buddy Jeremy Lester and I wrote it, and it's centered around a lead female, again, who shows up late to this wedding, and everybody's gone, and then she falls in a hole. And then she basically ends up going through, like, she ends up in a hell dimension, basically, and it's full of killer clowns.
That sounds horrific.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's got to fight her way out of basically an underground clown town in a mine shaft.
Mm-hmm.
And we're building all the sets at our studio. And I mean, we got some exteriors that we're doing, you know, throughout St. Pete and Tampa and maybe Brooksville and stuff. But the majority of it will be shot in a studio. In sets.
Are you doing, literally physically building sets, not computer?
No, we're building. Yeah, we're building mine shafts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man, we're going to build all of the set pieces we have to because they're so unique. And then we got an above-ground scene in an abandoned town, which, you know, we found a place up in, like, near Newport Richie, I think, Ocala somewhere,
mm-hmm.
of an abandoned town.
What's the advantage of doing the sets as opposed to doing computer-generated type stuff?
I like practical, man. I want my actors to be able to physically touch things and interact with those things. Digitally, though, something like this, it would cost us just as much to hire somebody to build imaginary mine shafts around actors running around being stupid as opposed to us just building it. And we know we can build it for cheap. You know, we know exactly how to build it. We know what we need. We're the set designers. We wrote it. We know that what it's going to take to do, you know, one section of the mine shaft that we're thinking about. And, you know, if you play a lot of video games, you know, I really want to go for more of like a Borderlands kind of Raider camp look, you know, something like that, you know? So that's kind of what I'm really hoping to go for. Not the cell shading, but just the look of the Raider towns.
Right, right.
But underground, in a mine shaft.
Yeah. I don't know what that is. I got to be honest with you. But
okay.
I will say yes, absolutely.
Sweet.
Did you hear about this? They were making a movie about Ybor City, and they had to go to another city to shoot it.
Yeah, that was like a year ago. It was a Ben Affleck movie.
Did it get made already?
Yeah, it's done.
Oh, it's done already. Okay.
Yeah, my buddy, I had a good friend of mine who works at Loot Crate, and he took a picture in Atlanta on a set of them recreating his hometown because we didn't meet their specifications.
It's
or
just
something.
Taxes, right?
It could be a number of things, man. It could be they don't like there's a lot of red tape, man. But I will say that the locals, you know, the local film commissioners, Tyler Martin Olich, who's the Tampa film commissioner, and Tony Armour, who's the St. Pete film commissioner, those guys bust their ass for everybody. So I really don't know what happened or why they didn't shoot in Ybor, but it probably had a lot to do with the incentive. Mm-hmm. It might have a lot to do with Rick Scott. You know, I don't know, man. They keep a lot of that. They want a lot of the money for tourism and stadiums. That's right. Where all the money goes. And none of it goes incentives for filmmaking because Florida doesn't care. They got Orlando. We got Miami. We got, I think there's like 25 stadiums in Florida,
mm-hmm.
and that's where all the money goes.
Yeah,
that's where the power is.
But there
real
is,
estate.
I mean, isn't Orlando, you know, Disney's there. It's like the headquarters, right, in Orlando? Don't they want to make movies and stuff?
They make all their stuff in Hollywood. Mm. You know, through Pinewood and shit like that. They don't care. They don't care about locals, man, because they're on a different level. They're going to make a movie. They're going to make it with Tom Hanks and Dwayne Johnson and those guys. They're not going to make it with Joe Davison, who lives in Tampa, who's on Stranger Things. They don't give a... They care less.
Right.
You know, they could literally not give a hoot
mm-hmm.
about anybody here. So, they couldn't... I bet they don't even have a deal with Full Sail. And Full Sail is like one of the biggest film.
It's another scam.
Yeah, we were talking about that in the beginning.
Everything's scam.
It could be, but I've met some pretty decent people out of Full Sail. I mean, Steven.
Oh, I'm not talking about the people. I don't mean that at all. CSB, Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
Yeah.
I know people that swear by it. I've also guys that are doing really well in the business that I have talked to here locally say it's a waste of time and money.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing you just go out and learn your craft and start doing it, right?
Right.
It's another thing to go to school, be taught the craft, and never learn it hands-on. Mm-hmm. Because I've met kids who have gone to college for filmmaking and have come to me and told me what I was doing wrong, and it's not true. You know? So, like, I had a guy on my set one time be like, are you going to shoot like that? I was like, I don't know who you are, but you can go away.
You freak off, yeah.
Yeah, see you later, buddy.
Yeah, have you noticed that? Like, I'm pretty young. I'm 33. But I noticed that people have a lot of confidence now, especially
it's
these really
false.
Young people. Actually, you know, when you're talking about this lens, you want to use the 14B, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you don't know. You know from a book, that's
yeah,
what they said.
Yeah, you
but
weren't.
There's situations that may change that rule.
Man, I know a lot of people who are book smart, educated that way through like the basic learning process of it. So like they're book smart and they retain things very well and they can remember things, but man, they when it comes to practical application, they just ain't got a clue, man. They'll tell you how to do it.
Sure.
Yeah, but they can't do it.
And they really have no idea. And they're so confident about it, too, and that's what drives me insane.
I love it when I'm trying to do a project and someone, you know, just keeps trying to tell me how to do it. And I'm like, dude, I'm like 20 years deep into this shit. You just got out of college. You're 21.
Right, right.
You don't even understand how your penis works yet. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
To be fair, neither do I. I'm 42. I have no idea how things works.
But it's it's just amazing. You were saying too that these kids won't intern. Did you just say that here, or were you talking about?
No. They'll intern. I love interns. Which leads me to my next thing I want to talk about. Uh-huh. Jolt.
Oh right. Yeah. Good. Then we'll finish up with that. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. So Jolt is a it's a production school. Jolt. J-O-L-T. You can go to info@joltproductionschool.com and register at joltproductionschool.com. It is if you do it before the 1st of May, you get 20% off. So anyways, it's a cool hands-on learning experience if you want to be a filmmaker or a sound designer or a gaffer, which is someone who does lights, or a grip, which is someone who basically runs a grip truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those guys, that's where the money is. Mm-hmm. People want to be the stars. That's not where the money is, because if you're Tom Cruise, that's where the money is.
Sure.
But if you're just an average actor like myself, you better do other things because you're going to need to direct or you're going to need to produce or key grip. I got a friend of mine, great actor, but dude, if he's not on a film, he's behind the scenes because that's where the money is. Mm-hmm. He'll jump on and run cables and move lights and shit. He don't care, man, because it's money. It's like $350, $450 a day
right.
to do that. You don't make that much as an actor.
Yeah.
You know, if you do, you know what I mean? But you're only you could only have a very small part.
Like being in it for a day.
Right, a day, yeah.
And
you're like,
all right,
and go home, take a nap. Yeah. See you next month.
What's the age range for this school?
High school, college.
Okay.
You know, well, I guess, you know, 16 to adult, maybe 18 to adult. I don't think we had anyone younger than 18 our first year. But what I'd like to announce is that we have a great scholarship now. And it's in the name of our very good friend who passed away, Michi Falvo. She was this amazing hard worker. I never met anyone like her who would work as hard as this girl on a set or offset in the production office or just being your friend, right? So we have this scholarship that's going out to the colleges and high schools that if you think you are worthy of this scholarship, and this means you're a hard worker, you don't take no for an answer. You answer your phone at 3 in the morning. You stay up late making call sheets. And you stay up late working on breakdowns. Or you're sketching ideas of something that's not even yours. If you have that kind of wherewithal, if your value is that high, then we're having people write an essay. and we're going to give it to one student, mm-hmm. and they can take Jolt for free through this scholarship.
How long is a school total? Is it like?
I think we do 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
I'm trying to remember the last one, and they were starting a new one in June, which is also when I'm starting my feature film, and
and you're gonna be teaching too.
I gotta teaching. Yeah, I'm gonna be teaching acting. Yeah, but we do it kind of like as a give back to the community. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like that's what it's for.
Where's the school located?
We're going to do it in Tampa this year. I don't have the address. I wish...
What's the you can just website
go to,
again?
Yeah, you can just go to joltproductionsschool.com. joltproductionsschool.com.
And what's the price for something like that if somebody wanted to take it?
Dude, I don't even know, man. I don't even know because we...
Well, just go to joltproductionsschool.com. You can find out info.
It happens Jolt Camp May 18, 2018 in May 11th, 12th, 13th. 19th and 20th. It's 5 days of full hands-on learning. You learn with some of the best. Like we got, I think we're having Bob Baker come out, and he's one of the biggest gaffers in the area. He does everything for every commercial generally, or he did. He's retired now. But he'll come out, and he'll be the gaff instructor. It's going to be cool. We got Pete Guzzo is out there. He's another director. He's got a couple offices. He's got an office in Miami. He's got an office in Atlanta. He does a lot of commercials. I've done a lot of commercials with this guy. He's brilliant. And then we have Mike Compton, who has Three Chairs Productions, which is out of Tampa. He's another producer, does commercials and marketing and that kind of stuff. And then Chance, I can't pronounce Chance's last name because it's like Asian and very long. But he is he has a company. Out of one of the biggest ad firms in the area, PPK, which is Piper, Paul, and Kenny,
mm-hmm.
Chance is a guru in commercials in mm-hmm. the area. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking like Florida Lottery, we're talking Publix, like he does all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll
be a good opportunity to meet people that are working in the industry and making a living doing
yeah,
it. At the very least.
Exactly. These are people you're probably never going to meet.
Right.
You know, so including, I mean, I'm more social than they are, you know, like I'm always out pimping my stuff and mm-hmm. just trying to make it and do whatever I can, you know, so I don't mind being the voice and that kind of stuff. And I'll be there teaching acting. But that's a very small part of it because you also get to learn directing and you learn producing and you learn sound and you learn what it means to be on a set and set etiquette. Cause a lot of these people, they don't know set etiquette, man.
Right.
They don't know you can't just walk on a set and start talking to whoever the hell you want to. And you just can't, man.
Yeah.
And so you learn all of that stuff. The first one we did was a great turnout. And like I said, those guys are now working with Kevin Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So there's education in there. And we also teach you how to be accountable. That's a big thing for me. When I'm working with people, man, you know,
it's a rare trait.
You have
nowadays,
to be accountable, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Show up on time. Know your shit. Know mm-hmm. your lines. Mm-hmm. Don't show up 2 hours late and also not know your lines.
Right.
Because you've got people there working who are professional
and
actors.
They're not going to put up with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
JoltProductionSchool.com. That's the website. Check out more info on that. Joe, thanks so much for coming in. Joey Gigglepants on Twitter.
And on everything. Instagram.
Smart.
Yes.
I'm trying to get everybody to do. Consolidate your social media handles, folks. It's
yeah. It's
worthwhile.
All one thing. It's all one thing, man.
Thanks for coming in, man. All right. There we go. Joe Davison. Check him out. Check out joltproductionsschoolagain.com. Joey Gigglepants. Thanks, Joe. It's always a good time. Any questions, concerns, comments, you could reach me. Voice or text message, 813-693-2124. If you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned, because Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you're listening on podcast, thanks. A pant load. Tell a friend. Rate, subscribe to the podcast at hmbradio.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get it. My name is Will Koontz. This has been the Homemade Broadcast. This is HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. Adios.